You're listening to a podcast from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. How are we doing? Wow. Yes. Front row's really, it was pumped right here. It's pumped. Glad you guys are joining us. If you're a guest here, some of you guys are fanning yourselves. You guys got one of these? If you guys find one of these in your chairs? You did? Awesome. Anybody doing this? Yeah, grab those if you want to. Grab one of those. If you find one beside you, yeah, grab one of those. Definitely. Yeah. Do you feel like a geisha? No? Anybody know what that is? Okay. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about this, but you can stop fanning yourselves because you look ridiculous. But it's fun. And also, this is not the weekend to need any more air because it's a freezing out there, at least for me, for this desert dude, Middle Eastern guy. It's freezing. But hey, I want to talk to you about this idea of investment, and it's a conversation that is connected to our series. We're almost done with our series. Next week, we're going to be talking about boundaries, so don't miss that. But this week, this idea of investment is the conversation at hand. It's the idea of, like, what are you doing to invest in key relationships in your life? And as I thought about this, first of all, I thought about this amazing moment where my nephew and I, his name is Aiden, he's about 13 years old, I'm thinking of the moment where him and I became, forgive me for this, for those of you who might think this is weird, but we became pee buddies. Now, yeah, right, I know, some of you guys, like, can we laugh at that? I don't know. Can he even say pee? I can't say urinate buddies because that's weird, but we became pee buddies. Let me explain before you go, what's going on here? And we're leaving, you know, we're leaving, okay? We're leaving, and I don't know why I invited you. I'm so sorry. Okay, so let me explain. So this was like around last year. We were all day, we were working on this fire, and we were planning on it, and we built this fire, and it took forever, because apparently it takes forever to build a fire. I didn't know, unless you don't have the right stuff. Anyways, so we built this fire. We've been really, like, taking care of it, nursing the fire in one sense, fanning the fire, you know, just making it happen. And it was wonderful. It was great. And this was like the end of the day. It was late. Everybody around had left. It was just me, him, and his dad. And so he was like, I gotta pee. And I was like, why don't you just pee on the fire? Because we gotta go, and we gotta get the fire out, and we gotta go to sleep. So we gotta get it out anyways. And so you pee on it. And he looked at me like, is this legal? Can I do this? And I was like, your mom's not here, so yes. Yes, your dad's cool with it. Yes, you can do this. And he was like, am I going to fall in the fire? And I was like, no. What I'll do is you kind of lean into the fire, and I will hold onto your shirt. I know, this is awesome, right? And I'm like, this is, it's never been done. Don't try this at home. And I held on to him, and he just kind of had fun doing that. And then I was like, hey, my turn. And we became pee buddies. And so now it's like we high five, we kind of go, we're pee buddies. And then his mom found out, my sister. And we're still not talking, but Thanksgiving is coming, so we'll see what happens. She's like, she could have got burnt. And I was like, but we had a moment. I bonded with your kid, you know? I bonded with him. So I learned a couple of things there. Number one, moments do matter. Right, moments obviously matter, but this idea of, like, of fire and a flame and how much effort it takes to keep it going and how much effort or lack of effort it takes to actually get it out, like, as in, you can intentionally put it out, obviously, pee on it, or you can just ignore a fire and it'll eventually die out. You know, it's interesting because relationships are just like that. There's a fascinating passage of scripture. Let me read this to you. So first, a couple of scriptures we'll read. This is in 2 Timothy, okay? So Timothy was a guy who was in church work, ministry work. He was connected to Paul, the apostle, and Paul writes a couple of letters to him, and so this is one of the letters. This is the second one, and he writes this, and this is what he starts off, and he says this. He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Louise, and your mother, Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. So he's talking about his faith. He's encouraging him, saying nice things. And then he says this. He says, for this reason, I remind you to, help me out with this phrase. Can you do that? Help me out. To what? Fan into, all right, let's try it one more time. I'm reminding you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We might have heard that later passage of this idea of God's spirit, you know, that we don't have a spirit of fear but we have a spirit of power and love and self-control. But this is in context of a conversation in one sense, or an encouragement, or I would say an investment of Paul to Timothy. So this passage has a lot of different things, and there's a lot of context behind it. But if you look at it, what is he doing? He is honestly telling him to fan into flame the gift that God's given him, to fan into flame the relationships, the calling, the purpose that God's given him, the people, the ministry that God's given him. But he's also doing it himself. Paul is fanning into flame his relationship with Timothy. He is encouraging him. He is investing in him. And therein lies our topic, this idea of intentionally investing in key relationships in your life. So if you have to go, if you got to go, hey, this, what is the skinny? Here's the skinny. The skinny is this, is that God wants us to fan into flame key relationships in your life. Intentionally invest in relationships in your life. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? Are we doing that? And what hangs in the balance if we don't do it? It's really interesting because sometimes you just feel like, well, you know, relationships that are meant to be just will last and it'll be amazing, but that's not necessarily true, is it? It's really, truly is not, because sometimes relationships take forever really long-term ones take a lot of work. I mean, all relationships start off really amazing, right? Now, let me read you this passage here. I want to read you two passages, and they're in the Old Testament, and it's connected to a guy named David, King David. If you remember his story, he was the second king, and the first king was Saul, and Saul had a son named Jonathan. Okay, so this is the encounter of Jonathan and David. So 1 Samuel 18 says this: after David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son, and there was an immediate what? Help me out. Immediate what? Bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. And it goes on and says that they became bros, and it became a thing that they just loved each other. In fact, if you know anything about that part of the story with King David and Saul, there was a lot of drama. And David was having a hard time fulfilling what God had called him to do, because God said, I'm going to make you king. And Saul did not want anything to do with that. And Saul wanted actually Jonathan or his sons to be in control of the kingdom. It's a fascinating story. But in the midst of that, Jonathan dies. David becomes king. And he's living it up. But if you know anything about David, I mean, obviously, you know the things that he's done, like the phrases he's used to or he's known for. He was a man after God's own heart. We know that. We know that he fought against what? The big dude, what's his name? Goliath. We know that. We also know that he committed adultery, killed a guy. And we know that there's a lot of things that took place with David's life, and he's really fascinating. But one of the key things about David is he had a way of investing in key relationships in his life. And part of his success in the midst of all the bad choices, the crazy conditions, and the trials that he went through, his relationships, if you notice his life story, you notice his relationship really kept him afloat. And I think there's a passage that I think most of us would never come across. It's not one of those things that a lot of pastors talk about because it's not really significant, but I think it's extremely significant to our conversation. And this is a passage that's found in 2 Samuel. And let me just show you what happens here. Okay, so David has been king. He's living well. Everything is good, apparently, right now. And then one day this happens. So it starts off. This is 2 Samuel chapter 9. It says, one day David asked. So he gets up one morning. He asked, is anyone in Saul's family still alive? So now obviously we know time has passed. He's like, I want to know if anybody of Saul's family is still alive. Anyone to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake. Jonathan's been dead. I mean, this time has passed. So then he says, he summoned a man named Ziba who had been one of Saul's servants. Are you Ziba? The king asked. Yes, sir, I am, Ziba replied. The king then asked him, is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them. Ziba replied, yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive. He is crippled in both feet. So we just pause right there. So you got this, you got David having a moment where he goes, I want to rekindle something. I want to go back. I want to find out what's going on with Jonathan's family. I mean, Jonathan's been passed. We were buddies before, and I don't owe him anything. I'm king now. And the way it used to work there, if you were king, or if you had a lineage of, and you had a kingdom, if you were no longer king, I mean, you pretty much were forgotten. And so the next king would take over, and everybody's paying attention to him. And so Saul's lineage and Jonathan's lineage is forgotten. No one really cares. And obviously, you got Jonathan's son. That David didn't know him, didn't even know he existed, but some reason, David's going back, and he wants to find out if there's someone still connected. He wants to intentionally invest in a relationship that for most of us would say, oh, well, it's gone, it's over. So they find the guy. And let me read you the end of that story. The end of the story is this. From then on, all the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants. So Mephibosheth is the son of Jonathan that they find. And basically the story ends where David says, Ziba, you are going to now work for Jonathan's son. And it says here, and Mephibosheth was crippled in both feet, yet lived in Jerusalem and ate regularly at the king's table. So this guy is taken from the shadows and now brought to the king's table, and the story ends with him now sharing space with the king, which is fascinating because you don't hear a lot about the story. You don't hear about why David did this, but there's something about intentionally investing in relationships, long-term relationships. I think David understood something that so many of us forget, that the key to significance and deep joy and the key to really, in one sense, making it in life or having the deep sense of satisfaction and peace is connected to long-term relationships. And they require intentional investment. Intentional what? Fanning the flame. The question is, are we doing that? Have we ever thought about it? Do we have a list? Have we ever thought, you know what, I wonder, what about from back in the day in college or high school, what about so-and-so, or what about the people in your life right now? Are you and I intentionally doing that? Or do we think, oh, no, it's good, our relationship is fine? I think there's something about that. There's something about being intentional. And I get it, because I think for my personality, I just kind of think that things just kind of work out. So I was talking to a guy the other day, And he was another pastor. And I don't know why we're talking about schedules. And then emails came up, I saw his phone, and he was started talking about, he has an iPhone, started talking about the red notifications on your apps. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like the ones that tell you these are unread and this and that. And he began to say, well, if those pop up, those give me anxiety. Like I have to take care of them. Like some of you guys are shaking your head like it's a thing. Some of you, it gives you anxiety. Anybody like that? Okay, so then I showed him my phone. And you guys ready for this? So I have a picture. I'll show it to you. So calm down, okay? You guys, breathe. You're like, you have 1,900 unread emails? Okay, calm down. It's all good, okay? I'm pretty good on text messages. I only have 22 I haven't responded to. It's a good day. So if you're one of those, I'm getting to you. And if you're wondering why I haven't emailed you back, I have 1,900 other people that it's mostly the same people going, why haven't you? But I'm doing pretty good there. Starbucks is only 3, so you should be proud of me there. I got nothing on Instagram, so I'm always there, okay? And then Basecamp, I don't know if you noticed that, the smiley face on the green, 442, that's Basecamp. Those are projects that we use Basecamp as a church and our organization and staff to communicate with each other on projects and, you know, and update people on projects. And so I'm knocking it out of the park right there, yeah, yeah. So I showed him this. You can take this down because some of you guys have passed out. So He almost had hives. I mean, he was like, what? And then he started looking at me like he gave me this look for a second, like, how are you even allowed to be a pastor? Like, I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I'm like, I told him, it's all good. It's all good, man. It'll work itself out. They're like, I said, people will work, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. And then I was like, you know what I want to do? I want people to solve their own problems. I was like, I don't want to give them answers. I want to teach them to solve their own problems. And for a second, he was like, oh, that's good. And then he was like, no, I'm not going to buy that. I'll buy that. You see, I do sometimes think that when it comes to relationships, oh, we're all good. We're all good. You know, it's all good, man. It's all good. But it's really not all good. Like, you know, I realize, like, marriages work when you work on them, apparently. Friendships work when you work on them. Why? Why can't we just figure it out? BFF, yo. It's the craziest thing. All these relationships that you have, either they're client relationships or siblings, friendships, loved ones, spouses, whatever, they only work when you work on them. And you're intentional about them. So how intentional are you and I? That's the big question. What does it mean for you to intentionally invest in the key relationships in your life? And for some of us, it's like, I don't have time for this. I don't know how to do this. And I want to make sure you understand that investing in your key relationships looks very different from investing in my key relationships. It's very different because I have different kinds of relationships with different kinds of people. And what I mean by that is I communicate and invest in them in different ways. Like, for example, do you guys know what a GIF is or a JIF? Anybody know? By the way, what's the right way to say it? GIF? JIF? GIF, GIF, it's a house divided. Okay? Let me ask you this. Have those of you who do not know what that is, I'm sorry. But I'm so sorry. Anyways, have you ever had a conversation with a person? Just GIFs? Oh man, yes. It's like all the youth right here, right? And all that. Yeah. Yeah. I have had some amazing conversations. Just GIF. No one says anything. I mean, we have moved past actual face-to-face, not even words, not text. These are just images. Dancing images, all kinds of crazy images. Just a whole GIF. And there are people in my life, the way I invest in them, I send them a GIF. And they're like, oh, yeah. And then they send something back. Like, I think with one pastor friend of mine, his name's Clayton King, and he's part of the teaching team at New Spring Church. And in fact, I'm going to be there in 2 weeks and speaking there. But so we talk all the time. But when I mean by talk all the time, I mean we GIF all the time. Or then he started using these bit emojis, right? Which is a whole different level, which I refuse to get into, okay? Because I don't think that's real conversation, okay? Okay, GIFs are, but those are like, so he sent me for 1 hour straight, friends. I was texting him, but he's responding in those bit emojis. And that's all he's doing. For an hour, maybe and a half, finally he was like, my wife is telling me to get off the phone. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. What's interesting, though, is that it doesn't matter the way you do it. It doesn't really matter. It matters when, in one sense, you do it and how often you do it. Because here's the truth. The truth is that moments make great relationships, not time. Moments do, not time. It's not the amount of time you spend on a relationship, it's the amount of moments you have. And I'm talking about those defining moments, those divine moments, those moments where there's outrageous, laugh out loud, oh my gosh, my abs hurt, I'm crying laughing, I didn't realize I had abs. I mean, that kind of laughter, to like moments where you just break down crying, or moments when you celebrate together, or just moments where there is you look at them in the right moment, you know exactly what they're thinking, and they know exactly what you're thinking. Moments make a quality of a relationship. There's a great book out there called The Power of Moments, and the writer, the author there, he talks about three kinds of moments to make sure that when you invest in people, these are the moments in people's lives that really do matter. And he breaks them down to three categories. He calls them peaks, pits, and ends. So he talks about this idea of peaks. So there are moments in people's lives where they have a peak moment. I mean, there's a win. There's something to celebrate. It's a wedding. It's a baby. It's something. It's a new job situation. It's something that is like you celebrate with them. So this morning I texted a friend of mine who is a church planter who, he's moving from one location to the next, and this is a big Sunday for him. And so I texted him and said, hey, excited with you, man. It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to text him back again this afternoon to make sure, just check up on him. And I'm not going to call him. We're not going to hang out for coffee. I mean, he's in Florida. I'm just going to text him. How'd it go? I might even send him a gift. I don't know. We'll see. All right? But I'm going to celebrate with him because I'm going to be in that moment with him, and he's going to be able to just kind of go, oh my gosh, let me tell you what happened, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to share that moment with him. And though that's intentional investing. The other is moments where people go into a pit. And a pit is it's a downer, where it's a fail. I'm just stuck in a season. I just don't know what's going on. It's a moment where people are kind of just going through some stuff and they don't really know what's going on, and you just sit with them. See, sometimes you just need to sit with people. And it's not about telling them the right thing. It's just sitting with them. I know it's the strangest thing, but it's just sitting with them. It's like, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I get calls and I get text messages or respond. What I do, people share some stuff. And then, I feel like I need to have a good answer of why something happened. I'd never do. I just want to let you know. I never do. You just sit with them. You just sit with them. And there's someone in your life right now who's going through a pit or who's in a pit. You just got to sit with them. You just got to let them know, hey, I'm thinking of you. And sometimes it's as easy as just saying that or sending a card or saying, hey, let's go hang out. I'll never forget. Never forget, man. My first breakup, right? It was young love. It was in Kuwait, in the Middle East, and I was dating an Indian girl. I'm Pakistani. She's Indian. It was never meant to be. There's probably a Bollywood movie about us. They're all about us, anyways. And so there's a lot of dancing. There's a lot of dancing. I would say we broke up, but anywho, she broke up with me. And it was devastating for me. I was like, why? It was awful. It was awful. And I'll never forget. I got a call from a buddy of mine, Nadim. Not Naeem, but Nadim. Yeah, and he called me up and he was like, "Hey, I'm picking you up. I'm going to go for a drive." And I remember the scene. I remember the moment, like, we were on the Gulf Road in Kuwait. I don't even remember the song that was playing. I'm not going to tell you because you're going to judge me. And we're flying down, and I'm like, he just wants to be. He didn't say anything. He knew that I'd broken up, and he knew I was in a pit. And that's what with 2 hours, we just drove around. I said, just be there. Just being there. And we're still connected, you know? And then there are moments where, seasons where there's an end to something. And that's another moment that you and I have to intentionally be there for people. An end is when something ends, when a marriage fails, and the person you know doesn't know what to do. When someone passes away, when they lose their job, when they were defined as someone, and it's over. And that's why sometimes even career women, when they get into a marriage and then they have their first baby, they find themselves there, their identity switches around. They're like, I was a teacher, I was this, and now I'm taking care, I'm a mom, and I don't even have a sense of identity. There's a sense of like, things have ended, and that's the moment you and I have to just be with. When people find themselves lost to figure out what their identity really is. Because you know what's powerful about those moments? Is that sometimes in life, our identity comes from our season. And so like, I'm a business guy, or I provide in this way, or this is who I am, my accomplishments. And those give you an identity. And the problem with identity, friends, is that it's connected to power, like personal power. And if you get your identity from power, which is true, it's always linked to your identity. And if your identity was in a marriage or was in a career or a field or was in a season and it ends, people lose their identity, and what happens? They lose their power. That's why some people who are at a loss of some things become very insecure. They deal with insecurity a lot. They're more anxious. Why? Because they've lost their footing. On the flip side, the most confident people you and I know are not the smartest people, not the richest people, not the most popular people. They're the most comfortable with who they are. Have you noticed that? I mean, if you think of someone that you think is so confident, it's nothing to do with their talent, their ability, what they possess. It's connected to their identity. They're extremely comfortable with who they are and who they are not. And that kind of person is so powerful, so confident. It's the strangest thing. They're so attractive as well. You're just like, I don't know what's going on. It's connected to their identity. So when we have people around us, and we know people who have an end of something, there's an end, took place, season ends, and they've defined themselves as parents, and it's no longer their parents. They define themselves as married, no longer married. Define themselves as a teacher, no longer. Define themselves as a student, no longer a student. What do you do? What do you do? Those moments matter. Those moments are where you and I step into. That's how we fan the flame. We invest in, because moments create relationships, not time. So who do we need to invest in? What do we need to do? What does it look like for you and I to really be in those moments in life with people, like to go, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to be extremely, extremely intentional. I think for some of us, you need to make a list. You're like, I'm a list person. I love that. Great. For others of us who don't like making lists, need to make a list. You need to actually make categories. Do some homework and figure out, okay, what are the key relationships in my life? Like, just stop and go, what are the key relationships in life? And how do I invest in them? How do I do that? I mean, right now, there's actually a person here in this service. Okay, Ben Mayer, where are you? I think you're sitting right over there, aren't you? Right there. Would you stand really quick? You stand right here. Give him a hand. Can we do that? Woo! So glad he's here. Thanks, man. Yeah, he was wondering why you didn't let me do that. So he's connected to a family that's been a part of my journey. I was on staff at Seacoast Church, and some of you guys have heard about it. They helped us plant, and Greg Surratt helped us plant. But I was a part of, I became one of his sons, it seems like. He's done so much. He's done so much. And we've known each other for, decades now. And so Ben is part of that family now. He married into the family. And I'm so grateful for long-term relationships like this, where we go, okay, I just don't know you for a season. I just know you for a long time. And there is so much significance and depth to long-term relationships. It's actually connected to people's peace, sense of significance when you have long-term relationships. And the flip side's true too. When you don't have long-term relationships, there seems to be a shallowness. There seems to be an emptiness in your life. It's connected to the investment of those relationships, what you've invested in them. It's so important. And you know what's interesting though? My personality is not to invest in key relationships and have a few relationships and invest in them really hard. Like, that's not my thing. I'm actually the flip side of this. Like, Ashley and I were talking, right? We're talking about, I don't know, a party that we were supposed to go to, and she was like, okay, do I know anybody there? My question is the opposite, always. Is there anybody there that I don't know? And they're like, and she said, why would you want to even go to a party like that? I was like, and so we started talking. And what we found out was her nightmare is going to a party that she doesn't know anybody at. My dream is going to a party and I don't know anybody there. I'm like, oh my gosh, all friends, future friends, they don't know it. You will love me. I mean, it's the weirdest thought, right? But I have the allure of the new, right? New anything, especially people. I'm like, it's awesome. The problem is the people who are in my life who actually do matter. I'm like, okay, whatever. I have to be intentional, extremely intentional. And for some of you, you're like me. The closest around you get nothing from you. Have you ever heard of the sprinkler system or the sprinkler effect? The water sprinkler effect, they use it in different theories or different aspects. But in relationships, they talk about this idea with their sprinkler. It feeds, in one sense, because it feeds water and nourishes the things that it shoots out. So the furthest away gets the most amount of water. The thing closest to the sprinkler doesn't get any water because it's always shooting out. And so in that theory, when you apply it to relationships, it's the same. Sometimes the people the most closest to you get none. Everybody else gets everything. And you know this, right? You know this sometimes. You know it intuitively. You see it in your life. You see it in the lack of depth in your relationships right now. You're experiencing this sprinkler effect. And you and I have to get intentional about not the new, the now, these people right here. What do you do? How do you intentionally invest in the people around you? And it's not about just you really getting something from people. It's, again, about investing. And what that means is that you're investing, you're giving to relationships. And so I want you to understand, when I talk about investing, it's not about getting, it's really about giving. What are you giving to the people around you? That's a different kind of life, because so many of us have relationships that we want to get from. I mean, that's how it starts, right? It starts with that. It starts from, like, people make you feel really great, and you're like, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then you don't love them anymore because you're kind of bored or you're kind of done with them. It's the new client. It's the new relationship, the new boyfriend, girlfriend. It's the new. But how do we invest in the people who've been around us the longest? in life. How do we do that? I think we have to figure out our pace, our season of life, and we got to change our mentality. Because I think for some of us, if you lived in this culture long enough, you think that, you might think like, well, there are certain seasons of my life that I do certain things. Like, you know, like in your 20s, you're supposed to do this, right? You're supposed to do this. And by your 30s, you should be doing this. In your 40s, you should be doing this. 50s, you should be doing this. And what happens? Life never works out like that. Like, you're doing things that you're like, what am I doing? And your relationship with God is like, God, I did this before. Like, why am I here? Have you ever thought this? Why am I here again? Like, why am I doing this again? What's going on here? Because life is like that, guys. Life is just strange, because sometimes you go, okay, I'm done. I'm on my own, and then you find yourself moving back with your parents, right? And for sometimes you might be 65 years old, and you're moving back, and you're actually living with your parents, or they're living with you. It's the craziest thing, because you're taking care of them. It is the thing. It's true. Life never works out the way we think it should work out. And though we are pressured into like, okay, this is the time where you become this, or this is the time you need to focus on your career, this is the time you're supposed to do this, we have to fight against it. In the Eastern culture, they have rhythms as well. And there are actually four kind of rhythms that I think I kind of familiar with, and I don't know, maybe you might relate to this, but they don't do like, you know, decades of time. The four seasons, just extra knowledge for you guys, is that the first, like, four seasons, so first stage is this learner stage, where they believe that people need to be learners, where you're growing up, you're learning how to do a lot of things, from feeding yourself to just basic stuff. And then you become a householder. We're actually learning to take care and have responsibility. It's when you get married or you have a house to yourself, or you're responsible for your own stuff. You become a learner, first stage in life, householder second. Then is, they call it the forest dweller stage. It's Eastern, guys. So you're like, forest? Okay, yeah, it's Eastern. Okay, so it's the forest dweller, where they believe that people in their life, they go through a stage where they're no longer... they move from being a householder established to actually going into the forest, and there's a part of self-discovery. And I think in the Western world, we experience this as well, where people go, okay, I'm in a certain age, and they're like, I've done this, and now they go, I want to discover more about who I am. And so they might go off they start new careers, they might start something else. They're like, I'm not satisfied with everything I've got, I got to go somewhere else. And in the Eastern mind, it's like you're going in the forest to discover stuff. And then the last stage in the Eastern culture is this idea of the last, it's the teacher, it's the sage stage. It's the, in the Buddhist terms, it's the final sannyasa, which, if you've taken yoga before, they always close with that idea. And this whole concept is actually that the last phase of your life is all about investing in the next. It's the teacher. It's you're taking everything you've learned and poured into it. Now, I love this, and it's fascinating, but I think that the kingdom of heaven is about, regardless where you are, regardless of the stage you're in, you don't have to wait for a stage that you become a teacher or a sage until it's your final sannyasa. It's in every stage of your life that you have to be giving and giving and giving. See, here's what the scriptures say. This is in John 15. Says this: greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's what? Friends. And you've heard this before, but in this context, what it means is that true love, deep relationship, this sense of significance and peace and joy comes from your posture when it comes to your relationships. And that posture is, I'm going to lay down my life. So I'm going to give. I'm going to pour out. I'm going to give. I'm going to give away. I'm investing in. Again, like I said, it's not withdrawing. It's I'm investing in. So as we end, can I just say this? Okay, just love you guys. Okay? Love you. Love you. Some of you, the reason why you are feel like you're all alone, feel like you don't have good friends, you don't have deep relationships, you have superficial relationships, you find yourself like just like, I don't have any friends, and I've got no long-term relationships to look at. The reason why you have those is because you're selfish. You've lived most of your life trying to just get from people. And they're done. It's just done. But I believe you can turn that around. I believe today you go, hold on, I'm investing. Like sometimes what we realize is we're fanning ourselves like most of us are doing. This is the most natural thing to do. You fan yourself. Fanning someone else seems like I am their servant. It's like I'm laying down my life for them. What kind of nonsense is that? But that's what the scriptures talk about when it comes to deep relationships. You're actually fanning someone else. You're fanning someone else. And I believe that your peace, fulfillment in life is connected to how selfish you're going to choose not to be in life and how intentional you're going to be in investing in key relationships in your life. So, who are they? What do you need to do? You have homework to do. Before we end, I do want to ask you this. Could it be possible that the key relationship that you're actually ignoring, you're letting it kind of fizzle out, you're not fanning, is your relationship with God? Like, it is the one thing that is like one of the most significant ones. It's key. It's the most important one. But you find yourself going, it'll just figure itself out. It'll just figure itself out. I don't even know what to do. And I don't know if you're waiting for God to work on it. Could it be possible he's like, I'm kind of waiting for you to work on it. Like I need you to do this. See, at Mosaic, I love the people who are part of this community online or here at our campuses. I love it because it's people who are finding their adult faith. It's not people who kind of grew up in a church and then kind of went whatever. No, it's people who are trying to rekindle, right? Rekindle a flame. They're trying to rekindle their relationship with God. And so I believe that you can do that. And so you're surrounded with great people who can do that. So maybe it's you. Maybe this morning it's about you committing to, hey, I'm going to intentionally invest in, I'm going to fan the flame of the gift of God that is in me. I'm going to do that. Maybe 2 Timothy, that verse is actually for you. This morning, I'm going to rekindle it. And maybe it's for you, it's just, hey, I'm going to ask God to be a part of my life again. Be a part of my conversation. And I'm going to invite Jesus to lead me. Maybe that's the key relationship this morning. So let me pray for you. Can we do that? Lord God, I just thank you for who you are and what you've called us to do and the kind of people you want us to become. God, I'm blown away that in all of your time on earth, Jesus, you modeled this. You spent 30 years just being with us and just being in key relationships. And then 3 years you worked, showing us that it's the most important thing in life is not a thing. It's not an accomplishment. The most important thing in life is actually people, it's relationships. So God, I pray, would you help us? Would you help us? Would you lead us? Would you guide us, give us the power to to make the categories, make the list, figure out ways to invest in our marriages, in our friendships, in our partnerships, in all our relationships. Would you help us, God? And Father, I pray for the person here who's thinking, well, I got to start with you. You're the one relationship that's been dying out. And this morning, I choose to fan the flame of the gift of Jesus that God has given me. So this morning, maybe you want to repeat this. Jesus, I give you my life. I want to be in relationship with you. Would you forgive me? And would you fill me with your presence? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.